The Winter Olympics are going on, and they have a VR app that actually has some great ideas. Plus, a publisher has been kicked off of Steam for forcing its employees to leave positive reviews. Tonight is February 18th, 2018, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
For some reason, I forgot to, open, half the programs. Like, the program I need to unmute my mic. And so I had to do the intro three times. Thankfully, on the podcast, you only heard one of them. That's why you should be here live on Sunday nights. Hello and welcome to a yet another edition, a third times the charm edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here at the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com and currently congratulating me for winning the gold on Outtakes, thank you so much for being here. Head on over to our chat room. It's live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And if you're signed into the site, you can check in and get some points on the leaderboard, just like ActDaft and Veronica Isabel. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show. Thank you to all of you who are here at any point during the show, even if you're listening on the podcast feed. If you care, you can find the passphrase somewhere in the episode, put it on the site, and I love you too when you do that. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number, which is working again. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word. Or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can comment on an episode at VogNetwork.com. Yeah, all I had to do last week was sign out and sign back in. It would have been fine. I didn't try doing that until after the show had gone off the air. But phones are going to be open tonight. Hopefully, that means that one of you guys will be able to call in. So I'm going to actually start off a little bit on a personal, not personal note. It does tie into gaming, so you don't have to fast forward or anything. But as I've probably mentioned before, I'm actually getting married. Something when I started this show almost 13 years ago, I never thought I would be able to say. But I am getting married, and actually today was the wedding shower. Which is kind of like a bridal shower, except you include the bride and the groom, and you both get the presents instead of just one person. It's great. But they also do games. You also find these at baby showers where they'll do games about, in the bridal shower, in the wedding shower, it's about a couple. And, in the baby shower, it's about the mother and the baby and stuff like that. And one of the games that they did is they asked me and my fiance, Jennifer, what some of our favorite songs were. And I gave all these quote unquote esoteric songs. I didn't know why. We didn't know why. And they wouldn't tell us why because they were putting a game around these songs for everybody else to try to guess. So they didn't use all of my suggestions, but they were like, well, we know what Bobby likes. And so that they had some songs that spoke to my love of things like video games and stuff like that. Rob says, Rush. Unfortunately, the Rush song I sent them, they did not use this method with. But the game was, what they did is they took the lyrics to the song, went to Google Translate, and ran it through eight different languages and then translated it back to English. And then had a friend of mine, one of my groomsmen, who does this great William Shatner impression. And he actually just read the lyrics as if he was William Shatner, ironically reading song lyrics and just speaking them. And then everybody had to guess what they were based on after having been run through Google Translate a bunch of times. And I'm not going to read him as Shatner because I can't do a Shatner, but I want to read a dramatic reading of one of these songs. And I want to see if anybody in chat will get this. Actually, you will get this because, like, by the end of this, it's pretty obvious what this is. But I'm going to do a dramatic reading of one of these songs that was there today, and I cracked up when I realized what it was. Just so you know, this lyrics obviously started in English, but were translated to Punjabi, then Esperanto, then Korean, then Yiddish, then Maori, and then back to English. So, here we go. It's a victory. I will mark these. Jackpot. It's hard to increase my happiness. Science, science. We must do everything we need. Let us all be happy. Next article, article view. Sale. But you will not miss this trip for all the mistakes. Try until the cake is over. When the environment is over, you get good results for those who live forever. People in chat already got it. I'm not angry. I am right now. If you hit me, I'll be killed. Then I cut it into pieces. Put it in fire. How can they burn it to burn? I really enjoyed him. This site will create a good line. The beta newspaper is over. Time has expired. So I'm not alone. Think about what we have learned for those who live forever. Go ahead and go. I want to stay in it. Others can help you. Maybe a black. The amount of fat instead of this cake is wonderful. It's really tasty and good. If you don't know what it is yet, I'm sorry. I'm still talking when science is working. When I see it, I'm happy. You're not. I'm trying to stay there for research. People are still alive. And I know that I am still alive. I know how to know I am still alive. I'm sorry. I'm still alive. When you die, I will live forever. I will live when you die. Is still alive. Is still alive. And it's kind of funny. Everybody in chat, they know it's Portal from Still Alive. I think Kazan actually put this as a triumph first. Fifth Dream said Still Alive. Tiger Claw said Portal and stuff. And yeah, it's kind of funny. When I yelled sale, it's because in the original lyrics, huge success is in all caps. So it actually capitalized the word sale instead of huge success. Let me try another one of these. This is not from a video game. But this was another one that they did, and I'm trying to make sure I read the right sheet. So this one's quick, not video game related, but some of you might get this. This one went from English to Vietnamese, Hungarian, Hungarian, to Japanese, to Urdu, to Hawaiian, to Kurdish, back to English. Follow me and get the country. It's good to keep in mind that I cannot stand. I do not forget that I was free from discrimination. You do not leave me to the heavens. From darkness, tell me how much to return. Burn the water and the water. You do not leave me the heavens. No, I'm safe, for I seek for peace. I'm not from heaven. That one's probably a little bit harder. But I'm going to tell you, it's not from a video game. It is from a television show. It's a little bit harder, huh? That was actually the first one they laid on us. Brad is in chat. You may have gotten a chance to get that one. I'm going to give about 30 seconds in chat because there's a little bit of a delay just to see if anybody else can get it. Follow me and get the country. It's good to keep in mind that I cannot stand. I do not forget that I was free from discrimination. You do not leave me from the heavens. We wish it was Dark Ditsy, you got it? Firefly, yes. Take my love, take my land, goes to follow me and get the country. Take me to where I cannot stand. It's good to keep in mind that I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. Translates to, I do not forget that I was free from discrimination. And you can't take the sky from me goes to, you do not leave me to the heavens. Or you do not leave me the heavens. So congratulations. I think Firefly, Fifth Dream said he was about to type it himself. So congratulations to the two of you. The rest of these were like, everybody's like trying to guess the Rush song. They were like, oh, Tom Sawyer, Limelight, that I had given them. One person, JD, says the only Rush song I remember is Nobody's Hero. I love that song. I almost sent that song. I sent them Roll the Bones, which was kind of like their 90s hit, early 90s hit. Apparently they could not feed it into enough translations to where it was... It was either too recognizable, like it didn't change enough, or it was just word salad and it wasn't funny. So that was fun. That was some wedding shower games that they played for us today. I wanted to share the Portal one with you because I thought that was hilarious. And then I did the TV show one because it's Firefly, and we could always use more Firefly. So, news for me, if you need more Bobby Blackwolf in your life, which obviously you do, and I mean it's cool if you only want 1 hour of Bobby Blackwolf in your life, that is totally fine, and you can still have that 1 hour. That 1 hour, this 1 hour right here, is not going away. But I, Rob Roberts would be so proud of me. I streamed on Twitch, not once, not twice, but three times this week. I got almost like 4 hours in on Twitch this week, and I might actually be doing it a little more. I may actually be able to make it to where I can take your bits. That's the plan. I am already halfway there. I've started streaming on Twitch, and one of the main things I'm actually really excited about is I got on Friday, I used some Amazon gift cards and actually got something that they said might actually do what I need to do to be able to stream a lot of my old, like, favorite games from the 90s on my original, like, Pentium machine that's running MS-DOS 622 to be able to stream them on Twitch. And I know I can use DOSBox. I know that exists. I can download, I can get the games from GOG and use DOSBox, but I don't want to do that when I've got the original hardware here. And so I actually got something on Friday, and because I live in an Amazon delivery city, it actually came that day. I was like, yeah, I'll pay the extra $3 to get it at the end of the day. So I got it at the end of the day, Friday, and it actually worked. So now I can actually stream directly from my old MS-DOS machine to Twitch. I did it on Friday night for the first time playing one of my favorite Sierra games that got completely trashed by Orange Lounge Radio. It was a classic game of the week, and they spent the entire segment bashing this game. I think it's the only game in OLR history, in classic game of the week history, that basically had nothing positive said about it the entire time. And it was Jones in the Fast Lane, which is kind of like a board game. And I played two games of it, and I actually have an original Roland MT-32 sound module, which was like the Cadillac of game music in the late 80s, early 90s. It's like you had like EGA graphics, like 16-color graphics, but then you had like this symphony of sound. It was the total disconnect there. Like the sound did not match the graphics on the screen. It's amazing. But I was actually able to hook that all up, and I even set my webcam up to look at the MT-32 because it flashes messages on its little LCD screen and stuff. So I actually can now stream a lot of this old stuff on the original hardware, and I'm going to do that. So Dungebus says, break out that Adlib sound card. No. There is no Adlib. The sound card that's in my computer is actually a Gravis Ultrasound, is what's in that computer. But what's funny is, the Sierra games don't support the Gravis Ultrasound, and the Sound Blaster emulation doesn't exactly work all that well. So the only way I can actually play these Sierra games is through the Roland MT-32. It does suck for, the CD-ROM games because they have speech, and they don't work with that sound card. So I can't, play any of the CD-based games, so I'm having to find, get my old floppies, or if there's bit rot, find the floppies I don't have and play the games from the floppy disk version instead of the CD version. So you can go to twitch.tv/BobbyBlackwolf. I already have the followers. You have to have, at least 50 followers. I've got 77, so thank you so much if you're one of those 77. You need to have an average of 3 viewers across all your streams, which thankfully I've gotten. I want to thank each time I've streamed, I've had 2, 3, or 4 people, and they're lurking, which is awesome. That is great. I mean, it counts as a view, and that's fine. I do look at chat. I do make sure I can keep chat open so I can talk, but people have been lurking, which is totally fine. So I've got that, but it's then I've got to stream for on 7 unique days in a 30-day period. So I've already done 3, I think. And then it's 8 hours across those 30 days, and I'm almost at 4 hours. So, and then I can get the, I don't remember if it's partner or affiliate or which one it is. They confuse me. Then I can get to the point where people can subscribe and send bits, and I can be just as cool as Rob Roberts and Flacco Jones. And you can give me bits for playing old Sierra games. And unfortunately, the Sierra games I want to replay the most, I'm not allowed to play on Twitch. Because I actually looked this up. It was, I wanted to play the Leisure Suit Larry games. Because they're you know, for EGA graphics, I mean, it's not completely graphic and stuff like that. And you can show people getting murdered gruesomely on Twitch. But no, no, they actually, if you ask, they will tell you no, because the original Leisure Suit Larry games were never rated by the ESRB because the ESRB didn't exist. They are treated as rated AO, and you are not allowed to stream an AO-rated game on Twitch. Now, I could play the latest Leisure Suit Larry that's not even by Al Lowe, the developer, the Magna Cum Laude game. You can stream that because that's rated M. So that's the only Leisure Suit Larry game you can stream on Twitch. You can't stream any of the ones that came before it. So, won't be able to play that, but I'm thinking about like maybe like Willie Beamish, and like I was into like the Police Quest series, maybe eventually the Space Quest series. The reason I'm always kind of iffy on Space Quest is because the part of Space Quest I hate is the very beginning, because they actually have like the time challenges. You have to like dodge things, and there's a little bit of stealth, and I hate that. I don't have a save game that's after that stuff, so I may have to fail at that multiple times, you know, get shot by the robot by going to a different place. So MXC says they don't have any Larry games on the prohibited list. That is annoying. So if I inadvertently stream it, would I get in trouble? SJ Wintermat says they also recently delisted the Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded game on Steam. It's there, but for some reason you can't buy it anymore. I actually got that as a Kickstarter. I backed that Reloaded on Kickstarter. MXC, I didn't look at the prohibited list. What I did is I searched Google, and there was actually like somebody posted on Reddit, and somebody from Twitch, a Twitch employee, actually responded saying, no, you can't, because they were never rated by the ESRB. If that's changed, I would be happy, because in Leisure Suit Larry, especially 3, and I think 2 is like this too, they at the beginning of the game, they give you like a quiz to test to see if you're an adult. And all you have to do, if you get all those questions wrong, they censor everything because they think you're a kid. So, you cheat and you can put in the cheat code and claim that you're an adult and see everything. I'd stream it on Twitch with in kid mode where everything's censored. Because other than that, it's just innuendo. I'm going to play by the rules and not do that. Dungerbus says, I still have my box copy of Rise of the Dragon 2. It has a manual. I don't think I've got the box copy, but I do have Rise of the Dragon. It's one of the Dynamics games that works well with the MT32. So maybe it's a little more gritty than I like to play. So I don't know if I'm actually going to go do that stuff. But yeah, so I've also streamed Mutant Football League this week on Twitch. So I've actually got like my console set up downstairs through my laptop, so I can actually stream console games. I've got the retro setup up here, so I could do that. It's the DOS games, but also I can stream VR stuff. So I've got like a lot of stuff I can do. Or I could stream a game that everybody should go out and buy on the 23rd of this month. And that's super multitasking. YYR is a friend of Orange Lounge Radio. He doesn't listen to my show, but he listens to OLR, and he says nice things to me. So I'm going to tell you that his new game, Super Multitasking, is being released on Steam on the 23rd for the low, low price of $4.99. Super Multitasking, it's an arcade-style game where basically you have to play multiple mini-games at once. It's like WarioWare, but you may have to play 4 WarioWare games at the same time. So it gets super frustrating. So it's a perfect game to watch streamers, you know, throw their hands up in disgust and get upset at themselves. I've played the first multitasking. It was on Xbox Live Indie Games on the Xbox 360. So I have that and got very super frustrated at it. But Super Multitasking, it is coming out on the 23rd for $4.99. He's a friend of VOG Network. Hasn't he called into your show before? I don't think he's actually called into the show. I don't think he's home early enough for this show. If he did, that'd be great. But no, he's done a really good job on this. I don't want to disparage him at all for any reason. I think he's got a hidden gem on his hands. So I've actually told him, don't send me a code. I am going to go and I'm going to give my $5 to Steam to buy the game so I could play it, get really frustrated, and leave a positive review. Like, I told him, don't give me a code. Because he's like, Bobby, I'll give you a code. You're an awesome person. I'll give you a code. And I'm like, no. I actually want you to, I'm going to actually pay you. I'm going to pay you for this, and then maybe I'll stream it. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Bean. Let's talk about some of the stuff, some other stuff going on this week. Not about me. Thank you. So the first thing I want to talk about, because we talked about this a little bit on the call with Orange Lounge Radio last week, and I was like, you know what, I really ought to check this out. And it's about VR, so go ahead and get your flask ready, because you're going to start drinking. But it's actually also about current events in sports. I'm talking about the Olympics. So if you've been watching any of the Winter Olympics currently, especially here in the United States, because this is really an NBC thing, so it's the United States provider of the Olympics, they've been touting you can watch the Olympics in VR. And I'm like, oh, it's just going to be 360 video and stuff like that. Well, and I kind of like said, well, you know, it's cool that they're embracing it, but it's probably just 360 video. And then I was like, you know what? I really ought to just, you know, it's for Gear VR. It's basically for the mobile platforms. Plus, I think Windows Mixed Reality has it. So, but you can't use it on a Vive or Oculus, as far as I can tell. So I pulled out my Gear VR that I got with my Galaxy S8, and I downloaded the NBC VR app. And I got to say, yes, it is video, but they did this the smartest way that they probably could have. So what they've done with the Olympics is they've taken basically all the events. I don't know if they've done like the demonstration events like snow volleyball or whatever, but they've taken – like let's say like alpine skiing or something, or the downhill skiing, and what they've done is they've placed not 360 degree cameras but 180 degree cameras at various points on the track, and they're 3D 180 degree cameras, and then so what you can do is you can actually watch a full broadcast of the event. From they've got what's called a VR cam that switches between these cameras, but you can also say, no, I just want to watch from this camera. And so what they do is they have the commentary. It's the NBC commentary, I believe. And it goes over, and it's a 180-degree stationary camera. And if the skier is not in your field of view, right in the center, they actually put the 2D, what you'd see on television, the television broadcast, until the skier really comes into frame. Or in one of the ones for alpine skiing, you can actually see, they have the screen there, but it doesn't actually block the mountain. So you can see way in the distance the dude starting and coming down the track. And actually, one of the ones I actually looked at, one of the guys missed one of the flags, like he went outside of the lines. So his run was over. And that pretty much happened right in front of the VR camera. So they even had the replay, and he stopped like right in front of the camera and everything like that. So being able to both have, you know, the VR cam where they basically start you at the starting line and then it fades out and fades back in at a different camera angle. There's that, or you can watch it as if you were standing in that place for the entire run. And that was actually really neat. The way that they did that, because they actually have a map of the mountain below you and you can choose where on the mountain you want to be. And then, you know, watch the entire 2-hour event or whatever from there. Apparently they were also doing that for live events. I did not try this at a time when things were live. But also, I went into the figure skating one, and they do the same thing where they actually have three cameras around the rink. So one's up high, and then two are in the corner, and then there's another camera that's actually in, like, the loading area. So you can watch other people's reactions and stuff. And then you can watch the entire performance as if you were in the arena. And you can actually – and it helps because you can see how fast they're going. You actually get more of a sense of the speed of what they're doing. And I thought it was really well done. I initially said it was just going to be from 360-degree video. It's actually not. They actually put some thought into this, into the camera placement, and they put the 2D, the television overlay at the right times, so you don't actually miss any of the action, but when there's action, you can see in VR It's there. If you're wondering, I also looked into curling, which is pretty much the one Olympic sport I really care about because it's the one I could most likely do. They actually have two cameras. They have one at the start line where the person, you know, throws out the stone, and then one that's closer to the bullseye or whatever, so you can actually see everybody sweeping and coming in like that. So if you have a Google Daydream or a Samsung Gear VR or a Windows Mixed Reality headset, and I think also Google Cardboard, I think, has an app for this as well. It's free. It's the NBC Sports app, and it's all the Pyeongchang Winter Olympic stuff. It's actually really interesting the way they did it, and I was impressed. It was more than I thought they would do. Tiger Claw says, so you can see the curling in VR. Yes, they have the curling, and they even have like a 360-degree experience, basically, where they filmed it outside, so it's not a live event. But I think that's 360, and you're like, you are the rock that they're sweeping or something, and you're going, I don't know. I didn't watch that one. I was more watching the actual sports events. SJ1UnderMatt says, all the other major sports in the U.S. are getting in on VR. The NBA has been doing it since last year. The NHL has experimented on it. VR Stanley Cup experience and All-Star Game experience. MLB and NASCAR are getting into it as well. Dark Titsia says, VR NASCAR, that might be neat. There's been some companies that have been trying to do that also, where they're like not just VR like 360 videos, but also, you know, they can track where the cars are on the track and then redo that in a virtual environment. So you're still watching the actual race with the actual commentators, but it's a VR experience. You can actually walk around and see the race from any seat or anywhere on the track. I know that there was a company that was working on that. They were showing off at like VR LA, like one of the VR expos a couple years ago. I don't know what they're doing now. SJ1UnderMatt says, some point they're going to start charging for this once it becomes more adopted. Yeah, they will. So, but yeah, so it's kind of, I was impressed. And, you know, I can sit here and say, oh, here's what I didn't like about this VR thing, and, you know, be a VR hipster because I was one of the early adopters and stuff. But I also really like to call out when people do things right. There's still a little bit of bugginess, especially with the Gear VR controller. You can't really sync it well inside the NBC app, so sometimes it's hard to navigate. But overall, I was impressed with what they did. And a lot of times Olympics, as OLR, as Rob mentioned last week when we did our call between each other, a lot of times big sports events like the Olympics and the World Cup, they debut new technology. And NBC, or I don't know if it was NBC or if it's Pyeongchang, the Olympic Committee, that's doing this. But they knocked it out of the park because it is, here's one of the things that you get to see, okay, because I watched the alpine skiing. Which basically it's the guy that's skiing, you know, it takes about 50 seconds for them to get down the mountain, but they're trying to, you know, stay inside the flags. Well, what you get to see is that you see the guy, he's coming down the track, right? And then after he gets by the track, you actually see that there are like 20 people that come in after him and repaint the lines, reset the flags, and like this entire army kind of comes onto the track to fix it up for the next skier. And then they do this in like a minute. And then they're off the track, and then the next person comes down the track, and then they come back on. You know, so it's like a grounds crew in between each skier, and you don't see that on television. But you get to see it in real time using this app. SJ1UnderMatt, raining on our parade. Premium VR experience will eventually cost like getting a ticket to the game. The leagues want to get in on it to make money. And Tiger Claw says, most often on TV, this is tape delayed. Well, so is what I'm watching. Like, what I'm watching is an archive. Like, I'm not watching the live events. They do have the live events, but there were none live when I was watching it because they're sleeping. It's like 3 in the morning in Korea when I was watching this. So, anyway, go check it out if you care about that stuff or care maybe about where we're going here with VR entertainment in sports and how they're doing the 360-degree videos, because it's a way more than just like placing one 360-degree camera and letting you sit there. They actually put some thought into this, and I want to give them a whole bunch of kudos. We're going to take a quick music break, and then when we come back, Skype's working again. So maybe, just maybe, someone will call in. And we can talk about stuff going on in gaming that I have not talked about the last couple weeks because I didn't have a show the week before, so I haven't been able to take calls from you guys for like 3 weeks. I miss you guys. Maybe we can talk about stuff I can stream on Twitch, or if you want me to stream something on Twitch specifically. Because I can stream more than what I've talked about, because I do have a lot of classic consoles. But I'm not going to play shooters, so sorry, no Overwatch from me. But anyway, we're going to take a quick music break, and then take your calls. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
Hey, this is Obi-Wan Jabroni, and I'm not beating up Jar Jar Binks. I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show right here on VogNetwork.com. And oh yeah, one more thing, Hogwash.
Thank you, Obi-Wan Jabroni. Nobody's sent a bumper in a while. I think like the last bumper I have is from Late Raginator. So if you want to send a bumper, a new bumper, even if you've sent in four bumpers before, that is totally fine. I would like some new bumpers in 2018. All you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can send a voicemail to the toll-free number, which I'm going to open up right now. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. You can't leave a voicemail that way for some reason. But you can call 1-888-36-GAME-1 and leave your bumper that way if you want. Or we can work something else out. If you really want to leave a bumper but don't have a way to do that, we can work something out. But the phone lines are now open, and you can call in and talk about anything that you want about the game industry and what's going on in gaming. We can, because I know there's a lot of stuff I haven't covered recently, and maybe you have more of an insight. I know Kingdom Come Deliverance has been like the big game on Twitch right now, which is apparently has the patches are bigger than the game itself because of the way they structured their files. Not sure why that would be. And then anything, and maybe you've been playing that, and maybe it's not as boring as everybody says. But we do have a call on the line, so we're going to go ahead and take this once it connects. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, yeah, Bobby, this is Raginator.
Raginator, what's up, man?
Not a whole lot. I'll try to be as concise as I can with my question. Now, since you brought up the Olympics, I want to ask this. Do you foresee a day where esports would be integrated into the Olympics now that esports have been a thing for a few years now? Or do you think it's never going to happen?
Well, it's already kind of happened. It wasn't formally integrated into the Olympics, but in the Beijing Summer Olympics, they actually did have a major esports presence at the same time. So it takes a while for something to get introduced as a demo sport. What happened at the Beijing Olympics was not technically a demo sport. It was just another company was running something in Beijing the same 2 weeks as the Olympics. But it's starting to raise more eyes. But here's why it may not. Because I just thought of this. And they would have to allow professionals athletes. Most Olympic sports don't allow professional athletes. You've got to be an amateur. There are certain exceptions. Basketball being an exception. Hockey an exception. Tennis an exception. But most of these have to be amateur athletes. And with the amount of pro gamers who are pro, they would have to make an exception for that. So I don't know if they're going to have to clear some hurdles. But it possibly could happen because if curling can be a sport, then I think maybe esports can be a sport.
Yeah. The only reason I think that one and a half reasons why I think it may not ever happen, as much as I would like to see happen, is first of all and foremost, esports are relatively new compared to other sports like football and all that. Not only that, but if you think about traditional sports, football, basketball, and all that, they generally, people immediately consider those sports, and partly because they involve physical activity to one extent or another. Mm-hmm. Granted, stuff like curling, maybe not so much, not as intensive as say football or basketball or whatever, but you're still moving around, getting doing a physical activity. Video games, not so much. You're pretty much sitting at a console or computer or cabinet, maybe pushing buttons. So the any naysayer would try to make that argument right there. Not that I agree with it, but
right. No, it's good. It'll take a while, but the thing is, you say never. I never say never, especially because it may not happen now. It may not happen in 10 years. It may not happen in 20 years. But if it's still around in 30 years, when everybody grew up with esports, then that has a better chance of happening. I don't think it's going to happen for 2020 or 2024 or anything like that.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll probably clear the lines that way.
Awesome.
Someone else. No, else can call him,
right.
But thanks
thank
for
you so much.
My call. Yep.
Sorry. He said take care. I hung up a little bit too early. I'm so sorry. Sorry about that, Raginaire. That was not intentional. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Kai Judo says hopscotch will be an Olympic event before video games would. There is a lot of stigma, so it's not going to happen anytime soon. But it is starting to gain more traction as a sport because it's at this point, I'm like, if NASCAR is a sport, then esports can be a sport because in both senses, you are you're sitting in one place and having to deal with really fast reflexes and basically staying focused for long periods of time. Granted, one is more dangerous than the other, but it's if NASCAR is a sport, then why can't esports be a sport? Fluke in chat says really enjoying Kingdom Come. Rough around the edges, but it has a certainly feel to it, almost as if it's an older RPG created with newer technology. It really does look like it's like a PC hardcore PC game that they're like, oh, I guess we got to put this on consoles. Fluke says it took him 6 hours to get to the opening credits sequence. Like, I thought Persona was bad, where it was like 3 hours. Before you got to the opening credit sequence, but that has Persona beat. Like, what was it, Persona 3 or Persona 4, I think. Persona 4 is the one that has the three-hour tutorial. Tireclaw, it brings up a very good point as to why it probably wouldn't happen. If esports becomes an Olympic event, what game would they play? And that's going to be also the core issue. There is no public domain game that they can play. There is no public domain game that has standardized rules that is not owned by a corporation. Anybody can pick up and play. If you have the right equipment, anybody can play any of the games that are currently in the Olympics. Sometimes you don't even need equipment other than shoes for like track and field and stuff. So that's going to be the other thing is, what is going to be the universal rule set? Because they don't want rules that only one corporation can have, because that's not the spirit of the Olympics. So talking about Kingdom Come Deliverance, Dungebus says, I died in the intro more than once when I finally realized the game wants you to outrun the archers. It's not going to automatically save you as part of a predetermined sequence. I actually watched somebody on Twitch do that part. So spoiler alert, I guess it happens pretty early on. And it took him like 4 times to outrun the archers. Like one time he made it almost to the end and they got to him because he didn't save his horse's stamina as much. But yeah, it seemed pretty brutal. Now, Fluke does say in Kingdom Come Deliverance, the save game method certainly makes you be more considered with your actions. I heard about, like, what is the save game method? Like, how? Because I didn't watch that far. Obviously, it's not a save anywhere. Is it more like RPGs? Or is it, like old school RPGs where you have to have, like, a save point? Or what, how does it actually work? Dungeon Buster does say he's not a fan of the save system. He feels it pads time as opposed to taking risks. And the game also does away with a lot of hand-holding. Fluke says it saves at certain points, but if you want to save, you have to have potion. And you haven't come across many so far. And Dunderbrough says you can only save when you sleep or drink a special potion that exorbitantly expensive early on in the game. Wow. And he says it autosaves sometimes too, but that's rare. Well, it was buggy as I hear the game is, which as for a game of its size, I'm not bashing it for being buggy or anything, so don't get me wrong there. But that's kind of scary that it may be autosave sometime, kind of, sort of. Yeah, I don't think I'm hardcore enough to play Kingdom Come Deliverance. I am sorry. You all can play. I think Dungeon Buster has been streaming it on Twitch, like just in lurker mode. So if you really want to see it, do what I do and just watch Dungeon Buster play it. Oh, Dungeon Buster says if you find the nearest bed and sleep for an hour, it will force a save. But if it's not comfy enough, it doesn't save. At least that's what I'm saying. So, yes, sometimes sleeping in a bed will save your game unless the bed is not comfortable. You know what? Sometimes when I'm really tired, I don't care how comfortable the bed is. I'm going to sleep in it. MXC, calling back to the first part of the show, says, just to update about me streaming on Twitch, some old games. Leisure Suit Larry games, older and newer, are rated M. So the Twitch staffer comment may be out of date at this point. So they have been rated. I did do a search, though, on like you search for games like in Twitch and like the bar at the top. And it doesn't list the others, but I play them under retro anyway. I don't actually use the game name. I use the retro all-encompassing game when I do the retro stuff. I may have to look into that because, I mean, I have no problem playing them with like all the questions answered incorrectly. So like everything's censored. Because they still had some fun challenges, which we learned that the whole challenge of the game was because of the text parser. Because once they got rid of the text parser and went to point and click, all the games got a lot easier. And it's because half the frustration was figuring out what to type. Kazan says, "Oh, there's a censored mode." So, calling back to the first part. So, like, I know, especially in Leisure Suit Larry 3, okay. What it did is when you started a new game, it actually did a adult verification test, and they asked you questions that, quote-unquote, only adults would know. And it actually kind of worked, because as a kid, I didn't know the answers to these questions. I actually looked at them recently, and I'm like, oh, I know the answer to that, and I know because I'm now an adult. You know, stuff about, like, you know, JFK and, you know, things that Nixon did, you know, stuff about, like, world events that a kid wouldn't care about. And the more questions you answered correctly, the less censored it would be. So, like, a great example is in the very first scene of the game. A woman shows up and brings down the blinds. Well, if you got all the questions correct, the blinds barely go down. But if you got them all wrong, she pulls the blinds down the entire way while you're peering into her bedroom. It's very wholesome entertainment. It's really not. But that's kind of, so that's how it censors. It's based on those questions. So I have no problem going through and like blowing the first five questions to make it the censored version to be able to stream it on Twitch. I mean, it's still a mature game. I'd still have to rate my stream as mature, but I'd be able to go through and do those puzzles because those games are mostly innuendo. Kazan said in Leisure Suit Larry 1, the game wouldn't launch if you failed the quiz. I think if you like, I know in 3, it's basically that's how you determine what the level of censorship is from that quiz. Maybe in 1 they didn't do it that way, but there was a way. Dungeon Buster says in Kingdom Come, you have to eat and you got food poisoning from a bad pretzel. That was terrible. Dungeon Buster says, I think Leisure Suit Larry 2 had scratch and sniff stickers as copy protection. No, it didn't. It had phone numbers. So basically you had to match the picture of the woman with the phone number that was in Larry's black book that was shipped with the game. That one I know. The scratch and sniff stickers you're thinking of were not from a Sierra game. They were from an Infocom game, Leather Goddess of Phobos. That had the scratch and sniff stickers, and they were not copy protection. They were actually called for at various parts of the games, and you didn't always want to actually scratch and sniff because they were not always pleasant. Gaming history, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe I could do the Classic Game of the Week. You want to know who actually does the Classic Gaming of the Week? It ain't me. It's 3 people out in Sacramento, California. They come up next on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. They're Orange Lounge Radio. And we like to check in with them and see what they're talking about. Sacramento, you guys there?
Hi, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm on Twitch now. I'm going to be like you.
I know. Congrats. Well, actually, you're streaming more than me these days on Twitch because I have not been having a great Twitch year. I've been having a good podcast year, but just not a great Twitch year. Did you see the ad for Shaking and Crying at the movie?
I saw that. I haven't been on a movie screen.
Well, I had to ask for some favors for that, but, it's great publicity, for that. So,
Yeah, so I actually don't think I've really mentioned Shaking and Crying. Like I've said, you've got a new show. Give me the elevator pitch and give all the people listening to my show and maybe not yours the elevator pitch for Shaking and Crying.
Sure. So obviously we talk a lot about video games here on OLR, but I'm interested in other stuff too. In fact, a lot of stuff from pop culture and geek culture. And myself and one of my longtime buddies, Aria Snark, she's a cosplayer based out of Los Angeles, and she does a lot of great cosplay for Disney-related things. And like she's a great Bellatrix Lestrange from Harry Potter. So her and I get together and we go back, you know, 10 years. And there's a certain relationship between you know, a gay man and his flame dames. I mean, Dark Sakura is a flame dame of mine, absolutely, but her and I like to dish about video games, mostly.
And then we go see Oscar movies.
That's right, then we go see Oscar movies. But Victoria and I, we go way, way back and dish about all sorts of stuff. So check it out. It's fun.
And it's available everywhere and on iHeartRadio, apparently.
It is on iHeartRadio. I decided to try something new since you know how I feel about Stitcher.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So what else have you been what else have you been playing this week or doing this week?
Well, I did do a stream of the new Secret of Mana.
Yes.
So that's a thing that's out there that I think a lot of people are trying and is a little bit controversial, I think, just because the review scores seem to be all over the map. And, you know, reviews are reviews. I think you have to make your own opinion. But it really seems like there are some people that are kind of open to the idea of remaking a classic like Secret of Mana. There's some people that are very opposed to it. Me, there's a lot that I enjoy. I think the remix soundtrack is actually pretty decent. But and if you're watching my stream, you can kind of see this too. There's some technical hiccups that are a little... like, it seems like whenever there's a new texture in the game, there's a little bit of loading that has to be done. Now, this could be because I have the game installed not on my solid-state drive, but on my large, like, 3-terabyte drive, which is a little bit slower speed. But still, you would think it would be a little better.
What's your memory?
Plenty. I don't know off the top of my head. Plenty.
I mean, I would say that your memory might have more to do with it.
Keep in mind, I just upgraded that rig like 2 years ago. It was top of the line at that time. So it should be enough, meaty enough for Secret of Mana remake.
Yeah, and I noticed like nobody's mouth moved.
Yeah, that was a little weird too.
That's been actually a complaint I've seen across the board. I have it. I was going to start streaming it tomorrow. But I'm half tempted just to bust out the SNES Classic and do that instead, since I won't have any delay to my TV.
There you go. Why not?
And then I can have Dan try to ruin my game.
I also picked up... Oh, by the way, just so you know, Jamie, during the stream, I definitely decided we had to name the female protagonist after you.
Oh.
Because, you know, well, she's a strong, independent woman who don't need no man. So
Yeah, true.
and plus, she saves the hero, Rob Roberts, from being cooked in a pot of boiling oil. So I figured...
True.
Figured...
That's just been a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, I remember just the other day when we were, you know, in San Francisco and they, you know, people tried to boil an oil in Japantown or something.
And obviously when the sprite shows up, which maybe will be in tonight's stream, who knows? Obviously when the sprite shows up, it will be Loki Tingle will be the name of the sprite character.
That would be Lingle.
Lingle. I like that.
Lingle.
Yeah. So I have actually never played Secret of Mana. Like, yes. I didn't play it originally or stuff, but I have a Super Nintendo Classic, so that may be the version I actually finally start playing, now that I've watched it being played a couple times.
I still have the cartridge.
It's worth a playthrough. I think it's one of those games that still holds up pretty well. I think, you know, and obviously I can't judge you hard because there's plenty of classic games that I never got around to either, but definitely check it out when you get a chance. I think it's worth your time.
Maybe I'll stream it.
Why not? Everybody, get more hours and we all... We'll build up our VOG network family.
And here's what's funny. It's like there a game that I didn't ever got a chance to get to, and it's like I now feel like going want to play it, but I don't want to stream it anymore because I have not actually really sat through and played Bayonetta 2, even though I got it as a gift on the Wii U like a year and a half ago. But now it's like, well, if it's not on Switch, why stream it?
Well, funny enough, it's funny you bring that up because I just received my copy of Bayonetta 1 and 2 on the Switch over the weekend, and that will be next on deck for me to stream for sure. I'm really excited about that.
So, because my Wii U still works perfectly, and I have it for the Wii U, so there's no reason for me to, there's really no reason for me to get on the Switch right now. But, yeah, I still need to get into Bayonetta 2.
Well, one could say the portableness and the Amiibo support, but I realize those are very minor things. However, you're also speaking to somebody that bought Mass Effect 3 how many times? Oh, and by the way, this would be Bayonetta 1 on Xbox 360, PC, Wii U, and now Switch.
Yeah, see, luckily I've only had Bayonetta twice. I got it on the PS3, and then I got it with the Bayonetta 2 as a gift. So I've only bought it once.
Oh, there you go.
It was a gift the second time for the Wii U.
Now, see, if YYR puts out Super Multitasking on other consoles, I will have to buy it there as well.
I am looking forward to spending my $5 on that on the 23rd. I watched you already stream it.
Yes, I did take a code. I had no shame in taking a code because I wanted to play it right the F now. So I took the code. But I certainly, next time YYR is out here in the Bay Area, I will certainly buy him the equivalent $5 in alcohol, which is probably more than his Steam cut anyway, so I say a good deal.
I'll buy him a lamb pie.
There you go. Or some falafel. We'll pay him in falafel.
We'll pay him in falafel and kibbeh.
But I can pay the $5, and then I can actually leave a review on Steam that counts.
I didn't take a code because I'm buying it.
Well, just be careful. Don't leave too many positive reviews, because you know what happens then.
Yes, that story fell off today. That was my other story today.
So. Don't worry, I think we have it on the list for OLR.
Yeah, in fact, I even actually teased it, and then I don't think I ever actually read that story. So this is the first time I've teased something in the intro that we didn't talk about.
Well, we just talked about it.
We just talked about it. There we go. That was all about Olympics and VR.
That's right. There's a lot to talk about with the Olympics and VR.
Yep. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
We'll talk a little bit about Overwatch tonight. Obviously, I went on a tangent a few weeks ago on the Overwatch League, and there's been some big changes there, so we'll talk about that tonight. Also, I don't think it's a hack, but it's a imagining, we'll say, of the characters from Overwatch in another type of game. So we'll talk about that as well. And why not a VR story of our own? The headline here is, Nintendo says nothing interesting done with VR. That's a little bit clickbaity. We'll get into the meat and potatoes of that a little later on in OLR.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com to catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic, or leave a bumper if you're using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, or twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. Follow me. You can't subscribe to me. You can't send me bits yet, but you can follow. And then you can get notifications on when I go live. Or you can submit feedback on the episode pages over here at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it might be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we could not make the live show work without the help of the chatter. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Titsia, DC Nate, Ronmo, Rob Roberts, VXJ6V, Bird, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Shadow Next Gen, Tiger Claw, Actdeft, Alt, Bacon Bits, Bowl, Brad from Geekspin, Chimpo, Dungeon Buster, Eswat, Fluke, Havoc978, Ikuma JP, JD, Kaijudo, Kazin, Lennon, Matt Fox, MXC, Orange Wright, Raginator, Spiffy, SJ10Matt, VidPower, and Zeba. Really sorry I just realized I did not get to the story in the intro about the publisher that forced their own employees to leave reviews and got banned off Steam. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. You tell me. Go to our Discord, VogNetwork.com/Discord. See ya.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.